From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. There's a new report out this week from Boston Consulting Group. It says that U.S. manufacturing is underinvesting in the kinds of technology that would increase productivity and revenue. Technology that includes everything from robotics on the assembly line to augmented reality. Why not invest? In part, U.S. companies are apparently doing things the old way and refusing to change. And the study's authors say this is bad news for efforts to bring manufacturing jobs back into the U.S. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
Of the 380 manufacturers surveyed, only 53% said adopting Industry 4.0 technology was a priority. Study author Justin Rose says a big reason is that companies are struggling to find people who can work this new technology.
When you have thousands of sensors on a piece of industrial equipment that kicks off data once per second, analyzing that data actually takes a different type of skill set than, you know, traditionally exists in a manufacturing organization.
But Rose says U.S. companies need to invest nonetheless.
The Germans are doing it, the Chinese are doing it, and we'll become less competitive over time if we don't follow suit.
Companies' resistance to adopting the latest tech is one reason for flagging growth in U.S. productivity. Gad Levinon is an economist at the Conference Board.
To become more productive, workers need more equipment.
Ideally, something new and shiny, like a robot or a 3D printer. In New York, I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Today, a bunch of people are taking part in an edit-a-thon of the crowdsourced ocean of information that is Wikipedia. The goal? Try to solve a problem. It's something that happens whenever you collect a massive trove of information with the help of the crowd. Sometimes the information reflects the bias of that crowd. Wikipedia, as it turns out, has a ton of biographical entries about men and not that many about women.
If women hold up 50% of the sky, one would assume that more biographies would be about women than 16.75%.
That's Rosie Stevenson-Goodnight, an editor of Wikipedia, who is leading today's edit-a-thon. And the 16.75% number is how many female biographies there are in the total number of biography entries. In partnership with the BBC, a bunch of editors are trying to raise that percentage number. And because it's Wikipedia, Goodnight says anyone can help.
You don't have to have any experience previously. All of us were new at one time. I had no special experience in writing on anything online, yet I've learned how to do the research and write the articles and encourage others.
Wikipedia editor Rosie Stevenson Goodnight. You can head to facebook.com/marketplacetech for more information. This season on Codebreaker, we have a new big question that we are asking about one kind of technology in every episode. The question, can it save us? Listen, decode, and decide. You can subscribe now on iTunes. All this week, our podcast Codebreaker is looking at surveillance. And the central question we're asking, beyond our season's theme of whether certain kinds of technology can save us, is how and whether surveillance is actually changing our behavior. One of the folks we hear from is Washington University's Neil Richards. He looks at the science about how surveillance creates behavior change.
The bottom line for this is when we know that we are being watched, we conform our behavior to that which is socially expected of us, that which is inoffensive and boring and bland and mainstream. There are two studies, I think, that show this the best. The more serious one is in the advent of the Snowden revelations about the way people use social media and search engines in particular. And they found that after Snowden, controlling for a lot of variables, after the Snowden revelations leaked, people were less likely to use Google to search for terms like terrorism or bomb making or Al-Qaeda. The problem is they also searched less, knowing about NSA surveillance, for things like divorce lawyer or eating disorder. Am I gay? That kind of those sorts of searches.
In aggregate, these searches were reduced after the Snowden revelations?
Yes. People search less, not just for things associated with terrorism or radical Islam, but they search less for other social activities that are legal, but which were socially disfavored.
What do you think is scary about that?
It drives us to sort of a society that is beige, that is not unlike some depictions, accurate or not, of the 1950s, that people want to live their lives or read or learn or explore ideas that are different from the normal, but they're stifled.
Don't you think some of the people that you would present this choice to, beige society seems like a small price to pay to anyone who doesn't want to experience terrorism?
Absolutely. And I think the response to that is mass surveillance doesn't stop terrorism. Now, it can certainly investigate crimes, but we also have to bear in mind it's incredibly expensive and it might not be the best use of our large but finite resources for public safety.
But if you had to choose a society where there was total surveillance and a society where there was zero surveillance?
I don't think such a society is possible. But I would say I would prefer a society in which there is more freedom than less freedom. I think I would prefer a society in which we realize that absolute safety is impossible.
Neil Richards is the Thomas and Carol Green Professor of Law at Washington University. Neil, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
More of that surveillance conversation at the website codebreaker.codes. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.